Welcome to Through the Word as we begin the book of Jonah, one of the Bible's most beloved stories. But if you think you know the story, you might be surprised. It's not about the big fish. True, the fish is pretty memorable, and it's fun to tell kids. But the heart of the story is something very different. Jonah is a man running from God, not running from his wrath, running from his mercy. The story begins like this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. Have you ever tried to run from God, hide out, escape his view? By the time we're done, we'll see Jonah run the gamut, fleeing God, crying out to God, obeying God, and downright angry at God. And Jonah is a believer, a prophet of Israel, no less, called to the ministry in the 8th century B.C. He comes up in 2 Kings 14, speaking prophecy to King Jeroboam II, who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. A prophet of God to a wicked king is not an easy calling, but that was Jonah's lot. Now, you might say a believer should never be angry at God or run from God. Well, right or wrong, Jonah was, and Jonah did. And with that, we get a candid look at a life of ministry that wasn't easy. It may challenge the way you see the ministry, and I hope that it challenges the way you see God. It did for Jonah, and it's the heart of the book. Look back at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. The very first phrase provides the foundation. This story is all about God's word, and it's a good time for us to remember why we read the word. The word of God gives us truth, and it gives us direction for life, a lamp for our feet and a light to our path. And not only direction, but correction gets us off the wrong path and on to the right one. And the word trains us to live righteously, right with God. But for me, the greatest gift of the word is the revelation of God. God reveals his nature and character through his word. But what if God is not exactly what you'd have him be? And I don't mean, what if the Bible is all wrong about God? I mean, what if we misunderstood? What if we took some of the Bible and fit God into a neat little box of easy answers? You know, like, God is great, God is good. Bad is bad, so let's be good. Enough said. But that's not enough. The nature of God doesn't fit into neat little boxes. Now, to understand Jonah's story, we need a little background. It begins with God's word to Jonah. So, what is that word? Verse 2. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So Jonah is called to Nineveh, and it was a great city indeed, an ancient Assyrian capital. Not Syrian, Assyrian. Nineveh was founded by Nimrod, the mighty warrior, in Genesis 10. Interesting side note here, in the early 1800s, many scholars challenged the believability of the Bible on the basis that Nineveh didn't exist. There were no ruins or evidence of Nineveh outside the Bible. It's an old myth, or so they said. Until the 1840s, when British archaeologist Austin Henry Layard discovered the real Nineveh near Mosul in what is now Iraq. Interesting, Layard's chief assistant, Hormuzd Rassam, was native to the area, a Chaldean. His family descended from the original Assyrians. The people have been Christians since the 4th century. And sadly, many have been driven out recently by persecution. Now, back in the 8th century BC, the Assyrians were quite different, known and feared far and wide, a powerful empire of much conquest. They are known to this day as one of the cruelest and most ruthless empires in history. I listened to a description of just a few of their cruelties, and I was deeply disturbed. I will spare you that. But put yourself in Jonah's shoes. He just got called by God to walk into one of the most dangerous cities in the world and preach against a people known and feared for their sadistic cruelty to outsiders. Imagine it. Hey, Joe, I want you to go into the terrorist stronghold and tell them that they're bad. And so, verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. In case you didn't notice, fleeing is quite the opposite of following, which is the essence of our calling. Every one of us, to be a Christian is to follow Jesus. Jonah flees, runs as far as he can, gets on a boat to Tarshish in modern-day Spain, on the very far end of the Mediterranean. For Jonah, that's as far from Nineveh as humanly possible. Why is Jonah running? As we read on, we'll learn that it isn't fear of the enemy that drives him. He runs from God, from his mercy. Jonah knows that God is gracious and compassionate, and he does not want to see God forgive the Assyrians. So he runs. For us, there's a powerful story to wrestle with here. What if God's word reveals something about God that we don't like? What if he calls us to people we don't like? As I was working on this study, a song came on my playlist by David Crowder. It's from the perspective of a Christian who realizes that he had badly misunderstood who God is. Listen to the words. I used to shake you like an eight ball. I used to shoot you like a gun. I used to hold you like a hammer, try to nail down everyone. I used to keep you in a steeple, used to bind you in a book. I used to take you like prescription without knowing what I took. And now I just don't buy it anymore. No, I tried and I tried to know everything for sure, but I find I know less as I come to know you more. You're not who I thought you were. Praise the Lord. That's the name of the song, Praise the Lord. What a picture. Shake God like an eight ball. Just give me easy answers. Take him like prescription. Just stop my hurts. And I love the line that says, I used to hold you like a hammer, try to nail down everyone. And we do it. Christians, be honest. Sometimes we treat life's problems and difficult people like the old whack-a-mole game. Just pick up our Bible and knock them back in the hole they came from with our truth hammer. But what if God isn't like that? What if God truly loves those people, whoever those people are to you? I'll be honest, one of my greatest regrets in my Christian walk is from my early days as a youth pastor, and the way that I responded to the question of sexual preference. I had my Bible answers, knocked that question out with doctrinal precision, and moved on. I wasn't phobic or anything. I just liked clean answers. I found out years later that several kids in my group had been inwardly wrestling with those issues. Kids who trusted me, but they never opened up to tell me about it. How could they? I already gave the easy answers. I regret that deeply. I love those kids. God loves those kids. And my doctrine wasn't wrong, but my heart was. I'm not comparing anyone to the Ninevites, just myself to Jonah. I think we all have those people. People to whom God would call us to compassion. The word of the Lord reveals who God is, not who we would have him be. He is a God of wrath and a God of love. And perhaps, like Jonah, we will learn that God's love and compassion go a lot further than we ever imagined. To those people, whoever that might be in your life. And what about the fish? We'll meet the fish tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.